very much. Let our young people be dismissed for children's Bible time. Teenagers, you may be dismissed as well. Take your Bibles this evening. We'll go to Revelation chapter 6. We're going to look at the seals. Last week we looked at the comparisons between Revelation chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 24. And tonight we're going to look at the seals themselves. We read through them for the most part, but we're going to look at them. Andrew Beatty. Wow. Finally. I'll tell you what, good to see you tonight, my friend. We're in Revelation chapter 6. Well, let's read the entire chapter. Revelation chapter 6, just 17 verses. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. Importance of punctuation. There is a comma after death. The name of the horse, without that comma, the name of the horse would be Death and Hell. But there is not. There is a pause. That comma is a pause. The name of the horse, the name of him that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with them. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, 25%, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. When he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under him the altar, the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" Because they're the blood shedders. And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed, as they were, should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. Every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." Notice in verse 16, they are not asking for salvation. They are not seeking redemption or forgiveness. They're not looking for a Savior. Hide us from the face of Him. I think when I see that verse and see that response, I think of Jesus Christ at the crucifixion when Peter denied the Lord and Christ did not have to say anything. He just looked at Peter and Peter went out and wept bitterly, ashamed of having denied the Lord three separate times. But these folks aren't shamed. They are trying to flee from conviction rather than embracing it and coming to the solution. Hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now, Father, speak to our hearts this evening. I pray that we would be helped, we would understand, and that we would be challenged, not just ourselves and our families, our loved ones, to encourage them to flee the wrath to come, but make sure that we are in a forward-looking, upward-gazing posture of life, anticipating Your return and encouraging others to flee the wrath to come as well. May we be convicted and motivated. We pray in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Verse 2, we talked about that just for a little bit last week, coming forth to conquer and to conquer. Depending upon how you view Bible prophecy will be how you interpret that verse. There are those that look at the book of Revelation not as prophetic. They look at Revelation as historic. In other words, they look at the book as these events have already taken place. And when you do that, you can, again, with a broad stroke, you can remove any fear or any possibility of God's judgment coming on this earth, and it's not found in the Bible. It just is this historic. It was already fulfilled. We're looking backwards. Don't pay attention. It's just a history book. As opposed to how I would look at it, and many others would look at it, and that is that this book is prophetic, that these events have not taken place yet, and they will take place at some point. And we'll talk about that, how I have come to that conclusion, and why I believe you should come to that conclusion as well, why I do not believe that just from chapter 6 that this could possibly be historic. If you've got some figures and you have some knowledge of history that I don't possess, I would encourage you to come and see me after the service and say, "Oh, Pastor, it is absolutely historic. And these are the events that were fulfilled in that taking place." But I'll give you some hard numbers this evening, and I'll give you a challenge to try to show that to me. And again, I have looked diligently, and I have not been able to find that. But how you approach the book, how you approach it, makes all the difference in the world. If you approach it from a prophetic standpoint, then this is not Christ. But if you look at this as historic, just history taking place, then you're going to put Christ on the white horse. And again, how you interpret it, how you look at it, makes all the difference in the world. Prophetic is the way I would look at it. So in verse 2, I would see the Antichrist seated on the white horse, a counterfeit Christ. And again, we mentioned this last week from the book of Daniel, the prince that shall come. Hold your finger here. Go with me back to the Gospel of John, chapter 5. Gospel of John, chapter 5. Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 43. Jesus Christ, in predicting this day, said, "I am come in my Father's name." first century, Jesus is walking on the face of the earth. He is doing miracles. People are looking at him. They're listening to his teaching. They're marveling at his works. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. The Pharisees, the scribes, for the most part, there were some that embraced. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, and he was searching for the truth, but the vast majority of them were not looking for a Savior. It's interesting to study Jewish history. I'm reading an 1800s book on Jewish people and what they thought about when Jesus Christ came on the face of this earth. And here was the attitude of the Jewish people in the first century. We're not sinners. We don't need a Savior. They rejected Christ because they were not, they didn't, they were Jewish people. God's chosen people. They were perfect in every way. Now, you and I know there's no temptation taken us, but such is common to man. And you know that we have sins in the millions, and they did as well. They just failed to see it. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another, Antichrist, shall come in his own name, him ye will receive, and the world will bow at the feet of the Antichrist. Sad day that will be. Typical Saturday, we gather here at 9 o'clock in the morning. We have a breakfast. We have a challenge from God's Word. And 10 o'clock, we're going out into the community, and we're telling people about Christ. Would you say that the majority of the people open the door wide open and invite you to come in and want to hear about the gospel message? Yeah, those people that knock on doors are going, no, that's not what we find. But they will to the Antichrist. Christ, again, prophesying that there will come a day, Revelation chapter 6, when they will bow their knee to the Antichrist. And I'll just say, the world today, if you're following the news and what's going on around the world, is ripe for a beast. They're just ripe for a world ruler. Somebody who will walk in and say, hey, I'm going to stop the war in Russia and Ukraine. I'm going to stop the war in the Middle East. I'm going to settle the world hunger issue. I'm going to take all, I have the ability to do that. And when you get in your way, in his way, he's going to stomp on you. The world is ripe for that. The stage is set for the Battle of Armageddon. The second seal, verse 3, I opened the second seal. I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. And again, there are those that look at this as historical, and that peace has been taken from the earth. And they would say to me, well, what do you have to say about that? Would you describe us as in peace today? And I would say, no, I would not. I would not. Families are not at peace. Communities are not at peace. We were in Monday. We're in the local public school, and we were doing the Bible club, and the school official said, your attendance is probably going to be down today. Oh, okay. How do you know that? Well, school attendance was way, way down on Monday. Well, what was going on Monday? Well, sick? Everybody sick? Well, I'm sure there are some that are sick. Something else going on? Yeah. They're hiding. Fear that somebody's going to come into the school and take them away and send them back because they're not here legally. A lot of fear going on. Say, so what do you have to say about that? That there is not peace on the earth, and there is not peace in our communities, and there is not peace in our schools today. My pat response is this. You ain't seen nothing yet. This is going to look like peace compared to what is coming in Revelation chapter 6. Given a great sword. And seal number one is a false peace, that signing of the peace treaty with Israel. Seal number two, when it is opened, is warfare, and that peace will be gone. Again, this seal, seal number two, we saw it in Matthew last week, Matthew 24, 6, wars and rumors of war. And so this is just interesting, and you can do this. You can go home this evening and say, what is going on in our world right now? Well, there's a problem with Russia. China is saber-rattling and does almost consistently about Taiwan, Hong Kong, and those types of events. Global conflict, escalating global tensions was a headline in the news on Monday. Article went on to talk about volatile geopolitics and key flashpoints around the world. This is Monday's news. Baltic Sea, Iran and Israel, Ukraine and Russia, Asia and Africa. It is anticipated, again, this is Monday, that 2025 will be the most dangerous year in all of human history for global death. Now let's put that in perspective, what's gone on in just Russia and Ukraine. Russia and Ukraine came out with numbers either today or in the last several days, and both of them have been remiss in publishing numbers on the cost of life in that conflict between the two of them. The Ukraine military came out and said they have 45,000 dead, killed. The news media, and they are figuring that that number is about half. That is more. That is closer to 90,000 dead. And they have said they have 390,000 who are wounded, and that's not multiple wounds to the same person. They went on to explain that that is 390,000 individual people that have been injured. Russia is estimating that in the conflict they have between 600,000 and 700,000 dead. 843,000 wounded. They're just startling numbers. Startling numbers. Keep those numbers in the back of your mind. And we'll come back to them in just a second. The third seal is in verse 5. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. Somebody talked to me about the balances after the service last week. Said, come back tonight. We'll talk about them in more detail. We read last week, and I made, again, just a brief comment on a measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Keep your finger here and go back with me to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Somebody asked a question after the service last week. He said, "Pastor, you said that this is a day's wage for one meal. Where do you figure that?" We're going to show you that in Matthew chapter 20 tonight. "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day." Now, to us, that doesn't sound like much. But the agreement, this is the penny, was the equivalent of a day's wages. "And he went out in the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I give you. And they went their way. And he went about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle." There's the end of the day. They hardly worked at all. "And said unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? And they say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his stewards, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. When they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man penny. They hadn't labored all day long, but they received a day's wages. But when the first came that had actually worked all day long and got their day's wages, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. That's what they had agreed on. That was a day's wages. Now, look back at Revelation chapter 6, verse 6. And I heard the voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, a day's wage for one measure of wheat. And that's the context, that's the meaning. Matthew chapter 20 bears witness to that. Three measures of barley. Barley being animal food is what we do on the farm. We feed the cows, feed the pigs, feed the hogs, barley. Now we're sending the wheat to the store to be made into bread, but barley is animal feed. And if you want to eat, that's what you're going to be buying. If you're going to want to eat more than just one little morsel a day, you're going to be buying animal feed. And what is that? Three measures of barley for a day's wages. What will follow? Well, famine. So what do we see? A black horse, the pair of balances, a scale, speaks to justice. If you look at Virginia's, the blind lady of justice with the scales in her hand. But this is not speaking of justice. This is speaking of rationing. Now, I am not that old that I cannot remember, or that young that I cannot remember rationing. Well, in the 1970s, we were rationing gas. If you had an odd-numbered license plate, you could go to the gas station on a certain day and receive so much. If you had an even-number plate, you could go on at certain days and you could get gasoline. And so Dad would go to work, and sometimes he would stay at work because there was not enough gas to get back and forth. And it was part of our job there on the farm. One, not me, because I was too young. One of my older brothers would get in the car on that day, and he would go to town, and he would get the ration of gas that we were allowed to have. The third seal speaks of worldwide famine. The scales speak of rationing. You'll take what you're given, and you will give a day's wages for that. Again, just a reminder, a penny or a denarius was a day's wage at the time when John wrote the book of Revelation. In Matthew chapter 20, Jesus, in that parable, they agreed with the owner, with the householder for a penny a day. That was their wage for the day in the vineyard. Now you think about spending a day's wages for three measures of barley. We're not talking rent or mortgage. We're not talking about your electric bill. And we're talking about a day's wages for animal food. Say, what's the significance of that? Because we, 2025, we live in a day and age where people have an unrealistic view of the necessities of life. Say, preacher, how do you know that? Because they knock on the church door all the time. And they say, help us, we need money. And so we have a form that we give them to fill out. The deacons get that. They're very excited about receiving those from me, I know. And they pore over that to see what the need is. And so they list. What do you pay for rent? What do you pay for electric? What do you pay for housing? What do you pay for medical? What do you pay for your cell phone? There are people that are paying $200 a month for their cell phone bill and then coming to us for food help. I just say, Revelation 6, when the seal unfolds, you're not going to be worried about a cell phone. And so this is what I say to people. My cell phone bill is $20 a month. And they look at me and they say, well, what I do is important. Well, what do you do exactly? Well, you know, I'm trying to get a job and I've got to have the cell phone in order. You're paying $180 more a month than I am. And they go, I said, you ever thought about maybe going to a discount plan that poor people have? Well, they're not poor. They just don't have money. Talk to a teenager. Pastor, a cell phone is a necessity. The school system is dealing with that. Don't bring your cell phone into class. Put it in a bag. All kinds of restrictions trying to limit that. Because it's a necessity. Listen, I've got news for you. A cell phone is not a necessity. It is a luxury that rich people have. But when it comes down to a cell phone or three measures of barley, I'd be eaten. And I'll just say, you can't eat your cell phone. You just can't. And we'll go into whether or not there'll even be cell phone service, but we're talking about the foolish discretionary spending of today. Again, I sit down with a poor person. So you're having problems. Let's go over your budget. You're paying $200 for a cell phone, and you got Disney Plus. You got a monthly subscription to Netflix. You're paying for premium internet service. And they go, those are a necessity. And I look at them, and they're absolutely dead serious. And I look at them and say, well, if it's an absolute necessity, then I should have it. And Brother Ray, maybe the Deacon's Fund should help me have those necessities of life. Right? No. But they think. But in this day, they won't think that. Gaming, internet, phones, foolish. In this day, there will be, and it's in the news, and I know several of you are affected. I don't mean to minimize the downsizing and the folks that have lost their jobs and in just the last several days. And took another phone call this afternoon, another church member who has been put out of work just recently. But in this day, you're going to be struggling to find somebody to give you a penny a day so that you can eat one meal. It's just pretty incredible. There's going to be massive unemployment. And if you can find a job, if you can find somebody to give you a day's wage so that you can buy one morsel of food, will you be able to find the food? I'll just say, in this seal, in this third seal, the working class people, and that's us, if you're left behind, you're in deep trouble. The working class people here are going to be in deep trouble. Now notice that it says in verse 6 that, see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. It is going to appear as this seal unfolds that the rich people are unaffected. Let's fast forward just a little bit. Drop down to verse 15. The kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. So this second seal unfolds and the poor people, the working class people, they're in a panic. Can't find a job, massive unemployment, food is scarce, rationing has taken place. They can't find a job to pay them a day's wage so that they can have one morsel of food. And the rich people in the ivory tower seem like they're unaffected. But by the time the sixth seal unfolds, they'll be in trouble. It's coming. Just hang on. Just hang on. Eventually, everyone will be driven to insanity, fear, and madness. Now, I'm not old enough to remember World War II. Careful. I'm not old enough to remember World War II. But I am told that in World War II, there was rationing. There was sugar rationing. And the sugar rationing lasted from, 1942 to 1947. A number of years. Coffee was rationed. Oh, but Starbucks, I got to have my Starbucks every morning. I read this list because this is in our history. This is less than 100 years ago in our country that we were rationing sugar and coffee and processed foods and cheese and canned milk and fats and canned meats. We're talking about Spam, for those of you that don't know what a canned meat is, for fish. Those were rationed here in our country during a time of war. And to think that those things aren't going to be part of this balancing, this rationing, would be a short-sighted at the very least. Let's look at the fourth seal this evening as we go to a close. Fourth seal is found in verse 7 and 8. And he opened the fourth seal. I heard a voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, yellowish, green, sickly color of death. And it's a dramatic picture, this fourth seal of divine judgment. Death is the rider, hell is following. Death for the body of unbelievers. And what is that number? So I took the world population, which is 10.2 billion, and divided it by 25. And the causes of death today: warfare, murder, hunger, famine, pestilence, plague, loathsome diseases, AIDS. I'm thinking all of those things will be magnified during tribulation period. What is the number of dead? What is 25% of the world population? 2,050,000,000. Now think for a moment. 2 billion. In the Ukraine-Russia war, how many, if you take the high numbers, how many are dead? 1 million people. You take the Civil War, how many dead? 750,000. AIDS, they say, has killed 700,000. 1918 flu epidemic, 675,000. World War II, 405,000. World War II, 116,000. And you add up all the wars, all the pestilence, including the things that are going on right now, and all of them combined do not meet this number. 2 billion people, 25% of the world population, just eliminated, just gone. Say, why do you say that? Because again, those who would say that this is prophetic, show me a time when 25% of the world population was eliminated. And it's just, this just hasn't happened yet. But it will. Matthew 24, verse 8 calls it the beginning of sorrows. And what does Revelation tell us is going to take place on the earth? It's going to be verse 8. Middle, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, to kill with hunger, to kill with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Did you know that the wild beasts get hungry too? And when their food sources are taken, you become a food source. Now they're looking for you, the bears and the coyotes and the wild. And you think, well, that we're in Fairfax County, we're civilized. Anybody seen a coyote in Fairfax County? We have. In our backyard. How far do we live? 1.6 miles south of here. And it's not the only one we've seen. And several hands went up around the room. And when those beasts get hungry, they're going to come looking. And they're going to come looking for who is here. And this verse talks about that. Hunger, with sword, with hunger, with death. And with the beasts of the earth, going to be killing people. But yet today people scoff. I'm not worried about coyote. Yeah, you will be. You will be. Estimated to be far worse than World War I, World War II, or all the other wars combined. Again, today we look at world events and we think cell phone, internet, they're a necessity. We foolishly think that we are scientifically, intellectually, and morally superior, and we are far better off today than ever. And I say, really? Foolish people plod forward thinking it could never get worse. And God says, by the book of Revelation, you haven't seen anything yet when I pour out my judgment. If that person says to you, it could not ever possibly get worse than it is today, they have obviously never read this prophetic book, Book of Revelation, and the first six seals. Father, I pray that you'd help us to be reminded that these are actual events that will take place in the future, and the terror that is going to be poured upon this earth is going to be horrific. And those that we love, may we warn them to flee the wrath to come. May we not be weary in well-doing, knowing in due season we will reap if we faint not. Help us to be steady at it, and we'll praise you for your salvation throughout all eternity. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.